From the conductor offices in New York City, this is Search on Tap.
Did you have a fish tank and you were feeding fish during Mr. Rogers' neighborhood?
I definitely had a fish tank.
You had a fish tank? Hey, cheers everyone, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Search on Tap. I am Pat Reinhart. Joined here with me is Ralph Durso.
Hello.
Steve Macchia.
Hey there.
And Stefan Bajayo.
Hey.
And today we're going to be talking about on-page optimization, which of course is one of the base layers of SEO, as most people would say. Do want to start out by going through a study, or citing a study rather, that conductor did that said that, you know, content makes customers 131% more likely to purchase, and therefore optimizing content is not some basic checklist that you don't have to cover if you don't want to. So that's an interesting fact, 131% if you have good content. So the content can be good, but the big argument that I always hear is, do you still have to do on-page optimization? Is it still that important? A lot of people, I've heard people say, oh, that's 2002 SEO, whatever that means. My opinion is that is absolutely still one of the most foundational things that you can do for SEO, and probably one of the biggest, you know, probably one of the biggest opportunities for most sites. Don't want to be the only one talking. Would love to get some opinions from around the room. Ralph, what do you think?
Yeah, totally agree. On-page optimization is going to be the quickest way to keyword ranking movement and, you know, keyword targeting and, you know, seeing traffic increases and revenue increases on your web pages. So following the best practices is going to be, you know, the number one thing you should do. We're going to go through, I think, a lot of those today. Mm-hmm. So pretty excited to dive in.
Very good. Steve, what about you?
Yeah. So, I mean, you used the perfect word before, you said the foundation. So one thing that's come up a lot, you know, talking with people, we start to go down through the checklist of things we're going to look at on the site. Whenever we talk about the basics, you know, such as title tag, meta descriptions, those types of things, you hear some of the moans and groans sometimes. And it's like, oh, we just want to get into this initiative. We want to work on this content. But what they don't realize is if you don't have the foundation, which are those basic tagging structures put in place, you could write the best piece of content in the world. It'll never get the best visibility because everything that it sits on is sitting improperly, and it's just mm-hmm. never going to get the best traction that it could.
No, definitely. Yeah. I think foundation is a key word here. Stefan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Steve. I think there's nothing sexy about on-page optimization, but you know what? We don't always have to look for the sexy in what we do. It's often the things we forget about and overlook that's the stuff holding us back, right? The way I look at on-page optimization is, Google's going to judge your site. They're going to judge your pages. They're going to try and look at you from the outside looking in. They're looking at you from a website perspective, not a business perspective. They're going to go on the best signals that they're being given. So whether or not it has a 10%, 20%, 50% potential, you should be focused on it just because it's rudimentary, it's straightforward, it's pretty obvious, to be frank. Mm-hmm. And in our space, there's not that much that is. So mm-hmm. why wouldn't you stick to that?
That's fair. That's a fair point. And I mean, one of the things that always bothers me, and I mentioned it before, is that, you know, a lot of people say it's an outdated, you know, thing. Like, oh, that's 2002. That's what we used to do here. You see a lot of larger scale companies doing that because obviously changing, you know, five title tags on a, you know, on a million page website. Yeah, you're not going to see the return on investment there. But that doesn't mean that you can't do those things at scale, right? So let's talk about the individual, you know, elements that most people would consider as part of on-page optimization, right? Let's start with title tags, right? For me, I believe that they are still one of the most important elements to not only, you know, search engines, but also to users, right? You know, there's a messaging aspect there that we can control so little in the SERP, right? The search engine result pages, for anyone you know, not familiar with that term, that I believe that not only, yes, we want to lead with keywords, you know, we want to make sure it's readable, it's natural, but also that's a message to entice. That's the first chance that we get to actually reach out and touch our user and say, hey, come into our site. Here is a keyword that I think is going to be important to you. So with that said, Ralph, what do you think about title tags? Do you think they're still as important as they used to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally do. Yeah, of course. Title tags are definitely one of the most important meta elements that you can change for sure. I mean, we've worked on sites, you know, here, and I've worked on them in the past where just changing title tags alone has seen ranking changes and even new traffic to those pages. So definitely consider it to be one of the most important ones, if not, you know, one of the most important factors, you know, definitely in my top three, top five for sure.
You know what's interesting about that, Ralph, is that it's not actually, you see, the way I look at it is the title tag might have been the last thing that you needed to change, right? It was the last thing to unlock backlink authority, cross-linking that it was going to the page, the terms on the page itself. Sometimes there just aren't enough strong signals, but there are signals. And sometimes just clarifying that for Google or whatever search engine we're talking about is really all it takes. So I think title tags can do that. They can unlock that. And to Pat's point earlier, they're literally the only thing you can actually, with the exception of meta descriptions, which we'll get into, get in the SERP. I mean, to the point that Google decided to rectify where they saw title tags not being implemented as they wanted and chose to rewrite that. There's not a lot of stuff that Google does that to, but yet they choose to do it there, which has to mean there's some importance.
That's a good point. You know, when they do rewrite title tags, that's something that a lot of people always ask, like, well, I wrote it, you know, why are they doing, you know, why are they taking that away? To me, I think a lot of that has to do, and again, something else that a lot of people are probably like, oh, whatever, is the character count limit or the pixel count, really. That's, it's really, you know, pixels, right?
Usually where you first see it happen.
Yeah. It's, you know, so for anyone listening, you know, if you do not, you know, Google has, you know, created this little box that we all have to live into, you know, that are a set of, you know, the walls are a set of guidelines. You know, back in the day, it was very easy to go outside of that box and exist there. You know, character limits didn't really matter. You could spam a whole lot of stuff. These days, it's much easier to live inside that box. And that character count, you know, is where, you know, some people, you know, most believe that it's anywhere between 55 and 65 characters. We know that it's about 600 pixels. You know, that's the width. But when it goes over that and it gets truncated, that's where you start to see title tags, meta descriptions, and things like that get rewritten by Google, because they believe, of course, in Google, because they're so helpful, is that they can, you know, that they think that they can increase you know, your click-through rate by rewriting it for you, which typically happens you know, with them putting your brand at the front of the tag with a colon and then whatever you had written afterwards.
So it's very, very confusing.
Very, very confusing, especially when you know, and very rarely happens when they're not within the character count. But it's always annoying when it does happen, when you're outside of that character count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pixel width is also something that often throws people, because it's relatively new, in the last 2 years, so it's not like super new anymore. But you know, you can write a tag that's within the character count, like say 60 characters, 65. But it could still get truncated, and it's like, oh, but I fit everything into what it's supposed to be by best practice standards. But if you're using a lot of M's or W's or dashes, things that just extend, even though it's a character, it's just a wider character, it can push it over. So you really have to do further refinement on a continual basis to make sure it's just, you know, showing up the way you intended, the way you wrote it is the way it's showing up as intended, instead of being rewritten as something that is less than optimal.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah, be really cheeky and don't use any M's or ends.
No Y's, no Y letters.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I think another thing as well to touch on there is super long brand names, and the ability to actually just shorten them for your site and for SEO purposes, so you can get more keywords in your title tags. Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely a good way to kind of just do more keyword targeting, just be more on point, do better title tag optimization.
Yeah, so I think we can all agree that, you know, title tags are still still fairly important. On a scale, you know, let's say you're top three. You have three places you can put title tags. Or do you put them first, second, or third? Me, I still put them first.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I would say, yeah.
Oh,
yeah?
Should have given a drum roll.
First. Of course, the drummer on our crew has to do a drum roll.
Well, I'm doing it now every time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm, as the contrarian, I'm going to say second.
Second? Why second?
URLs first. So I know this seems a little bit antiquated, so, you know, I'll stroke my beard here. In case you guys can hear that. The way I look at it is every single link that's going to come into your site, irrespective of if there's any anchor text, is going to have a reference point, right? It is the address by which something exists. To me, that reference being found on other pages, ultimately being found leading to your page and so forth, matters. I just think it does. Does it matter in terms of the way that an old exact match domain used to matter? No, I think Google's gotten a little smarter than that. But the fact of the matter is it's not that easy to optimize URLs. I mean, you got to go through the hassle of convincing your IT department to 301 redirect or however your mechanisms are. And I think that well-optimized sites with short URLs truncated close to the domain, fairly flat structures with proper keyword insertion is actually more important, if anything. I take that back. Not more, similarly important. I think like these things don't happen in a vacuum. So I think it's a pretty damn strong signal if you're willing to have your structure map back to a keyword.
They need to be relevant to one another too.
Yeah, so, of course. And so they should play off each other. Yeah. Right, Steve.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that a lot of people ask about is brands, you know, your brand name within title tags, right? It's a lot easier to include. For me, I'm a big fan of having the brand in the title tag because, you know, if you have a good brand, you should tout it. You know what I mean? But the problem that can, going back to the character count point from before, that's where, you know, a lot of people kind of get confused because let's say you have a, you know, a brand name that's 30 characters long, right? So there, that means for like from a keyword, you know, and structure perspective, you only have, you know, 30 or so characters that you can work with. So my opinion is that, you know, a lot of people ask, well, what do you do about that? You would want to lead with you would want to put your brand in it, right? I always say no. I would much rather, you know, because I always say that, you know, for organic search, depending on what business you're in, right? You know, most of the time you're going after non-branded search because if someone Googles your brand and whatever product you sell, your site is going to show up unless you have, you know, some kind of manual penalty, an insane amount of affiliates that outrank you. But most companies, you're going to show up. So I always say sacrifice the brand for the keyword. What do you guys think?
Nine out of 10 times for me, it would be that. There have been occasions where if it's a new product that's being pushed by a brand, sometimes you put the brand first for a limited amount of time just to ensure that on a query around a non-branded term, if that one can come up in the SERPs and you can see it there a little sooner against the competition, maybe you'll get some more brand recognition ahead of time. But you know, for the most part, it's always on the end. Let the keyword shine in the front because you know those are the terms people are searching for. But you know, there are instances where try things out, see how they work.
That's a valid point, I think.
Yeah, it's a good point.
To your point, Steve, if you're thinking you need to build your brand potentially on certain pages, you should be analyzing what those pages are already ranking for to ensure that you're not hurting yourself from a non-branded perspective. And then, you know, you don't have to follow the same format every single time. So everyone believes, oh, yeah, it goes, you know, keyword, pipe, brand name, right? And you don't necessarily have to keep that same format. In certain cases, you could put the brand at the beginning for certain pages. Mm-hmm. And if it helps brand build, awesome. Hopefully you can look at your search volume around branded terms and see that increase over time and trend up and to the right. You know?
It's usually for scale or ease of use to just kind of find the one formula, blanket it across the site. But there's always times where certain directories or certain subcategories may follow a different formula.
Yeah, and I guess it depends on what keywords exist for a particular product or a particular service. Or, you know, some pages might have the brand, but if, let's say you have a particular offering, let's say you're selling semiconductors, you know, right? And, you know what I mean? And that takes up, like, you know, almost the entire tag if you have something that modifies that or appends onto it. And you can't, and then, and your brand name is 20 plus characters. Mm-hmm. I would always, you know, to the point, like, would always sacrifice the brand for the keyword to let the keyword sign to Steve's point. Mm-hmm.
I think that's completely valid. I mean, you want to, but you know, the bigger point I think that we're talking about is the flexibility, right? The flexibility of on-page optimization. So the idea that in a lot of cases, you know, when you talk about the world's biggest websites and all that stuff and their inability to get down to a specific page level change and needing to do those in formulaic ways, makes sense, right? You got to follow a formula and stick to it. I think being selective and not getting stuck in a CMS that doesn't allow you to make specific changes as needed, you could be the biggest website in the world, but there might be a need to change category level pages and make those changes ad hoc. I'd love to be able to know that as an enterprise, I have the capability to do that. And I think if you're stuck in a CMS that doesn't allow you to do that, you need to challenge either your developers or whatever third party you're using to give you the flexibility to do that. So you can make those tests, you can change. And if you do need to put the brand because it's not synonymous in a product or service you've never offered before, you may want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think those are options, but if you don't have the options, you're kind of, how do they say in French? Screwed.
Yeah. And that's a good point about the CMS, though, you know, because a lot of CMSs make you do things. And, you know, at times, you know, developers, depending on what's on their plate, you know, these types of things are not at the forefront of what they quote unquote want to do or for most of the time have to do. So it's good to always, you know your CMS and know its capabilities. So that's a very good point. So moving on from there, so that's title tags, right? We can all agree that title tags are important. We all still believe that. I think that's a good point to move on from.
We love them.
Taking them home.
I'd hug them. Yeah. If they were a tangible thing in front of me.
Buy at Arby's tonight.
I think I have a new pillow idea for Steve. A pillow that says title tag. Where does one buy custom pillows?
I'm sure there's a shop on Etsy or something.
We'll go Google it.
Yeah. Someone Bing that right now. So let's move on to the meta descriptions, right? So it's definitely something that back in the day, meta descriptions were just as important to rankings. You know, people would stuff it with keywords, and for the most part, as it happens, you know, the importance decreases over time. And right now, I think we can all agree that, meta descriptions are not a huge ranking factor. It's a pretty widely held, belief and pretty much known. But what they are very important for is messaging and click-through. And if your click-through is higher, you have better rankings because Google rewards you if you have higher click-through rates. So the message is always, stay within the character count. Of course, 156 characters, that can float one or two characters either way, depending on pixels again. But for the most part, they're not a ranking factor. They're used for click-through and messaging. So for me, I always say that they're important, but a lot of people are obsessed with ranking, right? Oh, I want to rank for this. I want to rank for that. I want to rank for this. I want to rank for that. But it's not always about ranking, right? It's about actually, connecting with the user in the SERP and enticing them away from from their competitors. So going around the room, again, how do you feel about them? I still feel they're important, of course, not as a ranking factor, but more to connect with the user and entice them away from their competitors.
For sure, yeah. I totally agree. And, it really is about messaging. And it's about representing your brand the way that, that you're really intend on doing so. And really it's about, speaking to your customer in the language that they use. And of course, making sure that, your meta description is within the character limit of 156 characters. It's important. You don't want your message. You really don't want that first opportunity to get in front of your customer to be truncated, to your message to be cut off. So definitely, the recommendation there is to make it action focused, make it click worthy, maybe even a bit clickbaity, definitely a good way to kind of draw the eye and draw people to the result and to click through to your page.
Mm-hmm. Steve?
Yeah, I mean, they have to be relevant to the page regardless. So I feel like they should be there. Should be some relevancy to whatever the nature of the content's about, which, it resonates in the title tag that's going to be right above, the meta description. And also, very similar to kind of how Google in particular will rewrite things if they don't like them, if they don't meet character limits, things like that. If you have too many that are missing, if you're not filling in any of the fields, or if you have too many that are duplicates of one another, it's just going to impede results. So Google's likely going to pick something off the page that somewhat meets the criteria of what the search was done on, and they're going to pick elements off the page in some haphazard, Frankenstein-looking way that is not going to be beneficial to anybody.
Come to my side.
Meta description bad. We must rewrite.
That sounds more like a Yoda Frankenstein.
Is that Yoda Frankenstein?
I don't even like Star Wars.
I think you should just talk like that the rest of the time.
The rest of the time. Okay. Absolutely.
SEO. What's the search on tab?
And poor Merg is messing with the volumes right now. So, you know what? Meta descriptions is the lazy man's SEO. Like,
what does that mean? SEO?
It just means it's where people get the sloppiest, I find. Like, it's not where people focus. It's like the last place people focus. And frankly, I think it's because as search folk, we don't know it that well. And what do I mean by that? I mean, when you think about what we're really trying to do, is it's a bunch of content that technically doesn't necessarily make you rank better, but if you can convince people to action off of it, you'll actually potentially rank better, which means it's not as focused on the specific keyword as it is focused on, and that's not to say keywords don't matter in your meta description, but it's about the messaging, right? Mm-hmm. It's about the way it's formulated. It's about, for example, one of the top things I like to tell folks, what do you do with a page that ranks number one for all of its main keywords? Optimize the meta description. Why? You could change the click-through and get more for what you've already got, right? That means turning to your friends at paid and saying, hey, what converts? What are the messages that carry over? Now, it's really hard when you start putting pricing or anything that's dynamic into a meta description. It becomes very difficult to deal with and, frankly, something that people shy away from. But there's no reason why, if you have things like persistent coupons, deals, things that can be enticing, let's say, on a consumer side, to put those into your meta descriptions and actually give more reason for consumers to click. It is still text on that SERP page. So, you know, it is, if written evocatively and followed with what actually converts well from a paid perspective, you could actually gain a lot just messing around with that.
So, and do you, so I like what you, I like, you know, what you said right there is that, you know, there, it's not from a keyword perspective, but it's okay to have keywords in your meta description because they do still bold the keyword.
They do light up, absolutely. Yeah.
Which is interesting. Yep. So, and I also like that you said that it's, you know, what do you do about a page that ranks for all its main keywords already, right? You try to go, because then you're really looking at more conversion rate optimization versus on-page absolutely. Optimization, but they kind of go hand in hand sometimes, and a lot of people don't think the meta description is could be part of that because, again, back to the point I made earlier, if it's not like a ranking factor or a top 10 ranking factor, people are going to pretty much ignore it because everyone's obsessed with rankings.
Yeah, and a lot of time they don't have processes in place with their content writers and stuff to actually make sure that they're written when they're, you know, when they go to copy, which is kind of a bummer because, you know, they really should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's where people get stupid lazy. I mean, like, of all the things you're going to look at, meta descriptions is probably not at the top of the list, but it is where we duplicate a ton. It's where we have, to Steve's point, a ton of missing content. Mm-hmm. It just, people don't execute there the way they should. They think about title tag, they forget about URL, meta's kind of there, and then they kind of just think on page, and it is obviously an on-page element, but it's meant, its true meaning is to be in the SERP, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. No.
Well, oftentimes you even find that meta keywords fields are filled in more times than meta description fields, even mm-hmm. though those
which
are
is
completely
scary. Which is true. A lot of people.
Scary.
Because everybody's thinking in terms of, well, this is keywords. What I want to rank for. This is what I need to rank for. So I'll put those in there and I'll get to the magic land of visibility. And it just doesn't happen.
It's a common question. Get it. At least once a week, you know, what do we do about the, you know, what do we do about the meta keywords? It's you don't do anything. You
that's
don't
dirty. I feel like that I need is, to shower.
That now that is 2002.
That is 2002. It's like they gave you a field called "How do you game the system?" Fill it in, please.
Yeah, I sold a lot of dishwashers using that field. Thank you, meta keyword field. I made one a lot click of appliances. Thank you.
I made a lot of people think Britney Spears nude was on that site. You know, like
whoa, heyo. And that took a turn to the left.
Oh, Frankenstein.
So let's talk about heading tags.
Yeah. So, Timu. So, moving on from there, Ralph.
Great blue transition. Comment, bad.
Moving right along, as the Muppets would say. So, talking about heading tags. So, let's actually get on the page, you know, on the physical page. Mm-hmm. So, heading tags, talking about H1s and H2s mainly. You know, you can have H3s to H50s if you want, but all of the weight from an SEO standpoint rest for the most part in H1s and H2s. Some say H3s have their place. That's fine. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not going to argue that point. We know that H1s definitely get the most weight. That's typically where you want the primary keyword that you're focusing on that page. And then you can have multiple H2s, which can target your secondary and tertiary and beyond keywords. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of times people, there's a lot of things to talk about here. So multiple H1s, right? We know that if you're an HTML5, that it is very, if you're an HTML5, it is technically okay, technically, and I use that word, to have multiple H1s. But as an SEO, you know, as SEOs, you know, we always like to say, hey, listen, you know, if you look at your page as a newspaper article or magazine article, the H1 is your headline. If you have multiple headlines, how is Google going to know what that article is truly about? Yep. So I always say one H1, definitely, you know, You want to make sure that things are organized really well along with the body content that, you know, if you use, you know, a keyword in a heading tag, you should probably use it again in the piece of content that's below it. You know, so things like that, you know, making sure that it's a nice cohesive piece. So, Ralph, what do you think about that?
I think the thing, too, you know, Pat, to your point, is that you don't want to dilute the effectiveness of the keyword that that is included in, like, your H1 or your H2 tag. That doesn't really help you, you know, fully optimize the piece of content that you're working on. So it's always, you know, it's definitely important to avoid any kind of duplicates. I think also H2 tags I've found to be like really, at least recently, like really important with a lot of the answer box stuff that's been going on.
Really?
Yeah. At least, you know, a lot of the sites that I keep seeing, you know, more informational type sites that do rank for certain types of answer box queries and questions. A lot of the time I'm seeing that the H2 tags are the questions. And it's kind of interesting to see. I mean, it's an interesting way to structure a page, and you know.
And are those showing up in the SERPs? Is the H2, is the question in the H2 showing up in the answer box?
The content beneath the H2 is showing up in the answer box. So
interesting.
So the H2 is like the question, and then the answer is right beneath it. So
interesting.
It's almost as if like Google is serving up these, or like more accepting to like FAQ type content, and you know, adding a certain type of structure, whether it be with like H2 tags or, you know, if we're talking about sizing for photographs, like having a chart, like a actual table with the sizes and like all the different, you know, different details associated with it can actually appear in the answer box too. So it's interesting. There's definitely more, Google like, at least in my opinion, Google like really likes structure, I think, sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the more that you can give it, the better that you can do.
But sure. And that's really interesting and a great point. You know, the structure is a great point. And a lot of people, you know, believe that, you know, structure is just, hey, you come in and your site is structured well, not only for users, but also for Google and other search engines. But a lot of people get hung up on the hierarchy of you know, heading tags. You know, does the H1 have to come before an H2 and then the H2s fall below an H3? That is not true. Google has come out and has confirmed that that is not a thing, that you can have them anywhere on the page. Google pretty much, you know, just wants the page to be crawlable. You know, even the URL, they say they don't really care, you know, what your URL, you know, what your URL looks like. They'll, you know, as long as it's crawlable, they'll get to the content that is on it. So, Steve, what do you think?
Well, I just want to say that in recent weeks, I came across a site that I worked on that had over 60 H1 tags on one page.
Wow.
And after I cried a little bit, I said, all right, you got to power through this and figure it out. So there was a lot of things on there. It was like, one was the number 3. One said, go back. One said, logo. So there's a lot of things that were just kind of getting in the way of actually what the page should have been about to reference the right terms. So what are we doing here?
I'm trying to do sign language.
Yeah, I'm looking around the room.
So here's the thing about H tags that we have to talk about, right, which is the conflict. And there is a conflict. The conflict, and the reason why I think they're even looked at by search engines is, frankly, because if you think back, and still in the way that we do stylistic things today, they're meant for designers. I mean, at least originally, that's how it was being used. Designers were using these to understand which font, what size font, and stylistically with CSS, cascading style sheets, creating websites, right? And so they were anchor points by which, you know, designers were using this data to keep continuity. Mm-hmm. The problem in doing that is, to your point, Steve, sometimes you label stuff with an H tag that has nothing to do with what the page is really about, and it was more about the style of what you were trying to hold to. And in that sense, I think it forces Google to say, hey, you know what? I don't follow the H1 to H2 to H3 because I know that sites aren't structured that way naturally. That if it's tied to the way the site's designed, the odds are that's not going to change just because an SEO wants to come through the door and re-explain how that page should be provided. But it's funny, when I think about H tags, I think about resumes, right? I think about the way I read a resume when someone applies to a job. And I think about the headers literally on that resume. And what are the header sections? What are you trying to point out to me? And to your point, Pat, you know, is the header title followed up within the actual body copy with something that mirrors that? You know, if you say it's education, well, then you better give me a university, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the types of things that I think when you think of what's most important on a page, it's essentially the it's almost like the breaks within the page of what that content is supposed to be about.
And that's actually a really good point and a great transition into the actual content on the page in which those heading tags supports. So a lot of people always ask, what is the best way to structure the content? What's the best way to write the content? How long should my content be? And, you know, of course, depending on what you're selling, what your service is, and, your site's about, you definitely want to make sure that your content connects with your user. You want to make sure that it's quality content. It's not spun. It's not duplicative. But for the most part, length is typically one of the biggest questions. And, you know, a lot of studies have been done over the years. And for the most part... And for the most part, a lot of people say, hey, listen, if you're an e-commerce site, category pages, product descriptions, anywhere between 200 and 250 words is probably okay. Maybe even push it to 350. But if you're writing a blog content, if you're writing a blog piece, you'd probably want to stretch it to anywhere from 800 to 2000 words. So, that's a big discrepancy there, right? And, so it really depends on what type of content you're trying to create, what you're going after. The answer box is a really good example. Blog posts answer and ask a question in a long form content. But what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, and I think to your point, Pat, with the longer form content, not only do you have the ability to rank for more keywords because there's just more content there, there's more opportunities to add more keywords and explore more topics, but you really have the opportunity to just be more informative overall and to provide a more high value piece. And sometimes that includes adding images or videos to your content, or even infographics, and making sure that you're marking them up with proper optimized alt text and all that good stuff. But generally the longer form stuff does tend to rank better. There's been a lot of studies around it, and if you're doing a more informational piece, that's generally the way that I would go.
Good point. Steve, what do you think?
Instead of breaking out into separate pages that have minimal content on each, think about writing one long form, more informative piece of content to make sure you can get, like Ralph was saying, all those keywords, onto the visibility in the SERPs.
Yep. Stefan, what do you think?
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not a big fan of long form unless you're pointing me in directions like guides, right? Like the way I look at things is, you should be able to look at your topic, your main topic of what that page is about, and then subsegment it into its subtopics. And if its subtopics warrant their own pages, we should be breaking that up. And these should be sources by which, you can briefly touch on a topic, but then the whole point is to point a user to something deeper if that's ultimately worth what they'd be looking for. Because I think that what people do is they either cram jam everything into one page, and then it's like this super long page that if it did rank number one for one of those subtopics, you wouldn't necessarily know it when you landed on the page. So it wouldn't like speak to you directly because the header's not going to match, the title tag's not going to match, the URL won't even match, and it could be like a two scrolls on the mouse ball before you end up. Mouse ball?
Yeah. Mouse ball. Yeah,
I'm thinking like 1919. Used to have the mouse ball, remember? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's a whole bunch of scrolling until you actually get to that content. And so for me, I want to make sure the user ends up finding exactly what they're looking for. But I think the number one thing you can do with your page content is recognize the opportunity within it, right? Mm-hmm. Are you trying to just get... What's the point of your content, right? Is it service related? Is it informational? If it's informational, then it's really meant to educate with potential to point them somewhere else on your site or somewhere else on the internet. If it's service related, you're really trying to get your message across fairly quickly and then get them to take action. If you're not focused that way, then that's problematic.
Okay, no, that's a good point. And I'm highly considering putting cram jam on a t-shirt.
Hashtag SEO cram jam.
You do have to know exactly, there's keyword research involved. You have to know how are people searching for things? Does it warrant breaking out into separate pages? Mm-hmm. Can it live on a longer piece or a longer piece, quote unquote? I don't mean thousands of words, but can we get multiple topics on one page? I mean, it's about, not about the size of your content, it's about how you use it, right? Right? About how you write.
Oh, so what we're talking about is the length likes. And the size of the content.
Is my personal life trickling over into this right now? It's, as I look down at the floor.
Oh my God.
Oh, good time. So I think what we can all come away from here with is that Yes, on-page optimization is still very important. Title tags, we all believe, seem to all believe that they are still one of the top ranking factors, you know, because it's the first thing that both Google and users see. Meta descriptions, not so much for ranking, more for click-through and messaging. Heading tags, H1s, like the headline to your article, you should probably only have one, put all the weight on that. H2s, Ralph, great insight, seeing some answer box results popping up for the content underneath H2s. Maybe Google's placing a little bit more weight on them. And then ultimately the body content, great points by Stefan and Steve, has to connect with the user, has to make sense for the, you know, has to make sense for the piece. But all together, I think we can all agree that everything has to make sense with one another, right? I think what we got to hear today at the point was, is that we're creating a theme around all of these pages, and that theme connects with the keywords that we choose that ultimately connects with the user. So with that said, first episode in the bag. Ralph, what'd you think?
Excellent.
Steve, what'd you think?
Loved it.
Stefan, what'd you think?
Meh.
Meh? Merg, our man behind the board, what'd you think? Thumbs up or thumbs down? It's a thumbs up from Merg.
And Frankie says, on-page optimization, good.
Oh, and with that, we would like to thank the fine people at Blue Point Brewery for giving us this delicious toasted lager. I am from Long Island, so I love this stuff. Everyone, cheers, and we will see you next time.
Later.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, please leave Search on Tap a review on iTunes or wherever you found us. You can also follow us on Twitter at Search on Tap. For more episodes, please visit conductor.com/searchontap.